Open up this morning to Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. There'll be no new doctrine for you here this morning at all. I thought I knew what I was preaching today, early yesterday, and so we sat down after Peter's open house, sat and talked with Smiths for a while at the house, and went upstairs, and what I was going to preach would not work any longer. So there was a late scramble. But Romans chapter 1, I'm pretty sure this is the thing, though. Romans chapter 1. Now, Paul, we're going to pick this up in verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. I know we talked about preaching this morning. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for a chance to come back and have the liberty to stand and say what needs to be said this morning. Father, it may be that nobody here really needs to be saved, although we hope if somebody here is unsaved, you'd deal with their hearts. But Father, this really deals a lot with Christians, and I pray that you'd help us to have joyful hearts this morning in this thing that we're going to discuss for just a little while. I pray that you'll please bless in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul had said in verse 15, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Well, why? Well, because he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, the gospel is to be preached to every creature that is under heaven and earth. Amen. You got that, and we know that the Great Commission went out, and so you have a gospel, so preach it. You have something that matters, something that can change every life that listens and yields to it, so preach it. Now, there are other gospels. I know that I'm telling you things that you know. Paul discussed in Galatians chapter 1 that there was another gospel that the Galatians had been moved over to. He said that others have perverted the gospel of Christ. And then in the next two verses, he talks about there being a curse upon any other gospel being preached. Now, they do get preached, other gospels. Boy, you have the evolution gospel, and you have the humanism gospel, and the Sodomite gospel, the Mormon gospel. There's just scores and scores. So I'll be dealing today with categories. But Paul said something in verse 16 that too few Christians are able to say these days. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I just want to say that there's an awful lot of Christians that are. I'm not accusing any of you of being that way. I'm simply saying that Paul was one that was able to say, I am not ashamed, but I know for a fact that some are. Now, I want to ask you just on a rhetorical basis here, how can shame be paired with the power of God? He said there in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. You should consider how it is that you can pair or feel shame in connection with something that is the power of God. If this gospel delivers you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, if it takes you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, how can you be ashamed? If you're talking here about, if nothing else, the Lord Jesus Christ at least came to this earth for me and loved me. At least He came. Allah didn't even send anybody. Buddha didn't even send anybody to help us out. But at least the Lord sent His Son, the very best that He had, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. How can you pair shame with a God of all power that sent His Son as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world to die for you? How can you pair shame with that? A Savior that met every challenge. A Savior that went and met all of my enemies on their own ground. Sin defeated that. Death defeated that. Hell defeated that. The devil defeated that. He took all of my enemies and defeated them on their own ground, in their own house, in their own stadium. And how can I be ashamed? How am I to be ashamed of that gospel? Well, I know it's possible because people obviously at times are. I know how shrinking human nature can be about spiritual things sometimes, but really when it makes sense, if you consider it and it makes sense to you, you have no business pairing shame with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about the fact that He's made us new creatures. He's made us meet. I mean, seemly, appropriate to be one with the saints in light. He made me meet to walk with Moses. He made me meet to walk with Abraham. One day we get to go meet together. We're going to be one big happy family. We're made meet. I made meet to stand before God. How can I pair shame with that gospel that delivers me that? I am told, I am promised that I have a mansion in heaven. And I'm told furthermore that any day now I'm going to go on a ride that nobody's ever been on yet. Right? I mean, one of these days we're getting out of here and going up in the rapture. Let me ask, where exactly does shame fit into that? You know, the Bible says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I ask you, if He's given us the very best of the best on everything He's ever done for us, think about all those things we've talked about of recent, about what He did for you when you got saved. You've got a new birth, a circumcision made without hands. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Placed into the eternal love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're a new creature, sealed by the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. In all those things, He's utterly sealed you in perfection. How could you pair shame with a gospel that delivers that? Which brings us to those other gospels. When I was at the University of Texas at Arlington before I went to Bible school, so I was still in my backslidden days, sometime within the first couple of years of college, I'm not sure what the deal was, how they cut the deal, but the university administration allowed the Hare Krishnas on campus. And so they set up their booths and stuff in one of the, you know, plazas at UTA. And so they were there recruiting. And so for about a week, there were all these weirdos with their little thingy-ma-bobs on the top of their head, the little, I call them rooster tails or whatever. Rest of their heads are shaved. They're walking around in pink sheets. Now, somehow, I know it's hard for you to imagine, but that just didn't appeal to me. And so I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I've, at times, I suppose, looked like a fool for Christ's sake. But He's never asked me to have tasseled hair or to put on a pink sheet. I've never worn a pink sheet in my life, as far as I know. So I just want to say I am so glad not to be a Hare Krishna. And I mean a Hare, H-A-I-R-Y, Krishna. I've had to fight off some things in my Christian life, and part of it, of course, was coming out of backsliddenness and a camouflage style of Christianity. So there was times that, you know, when I was asked to step out beyond where I'd been before, that I felt shame, I felt reproach, I, you know, felt a little bit, cowardice at times. Who really enjoys being reproached openly in public or anything like that? But I just want to say there is nothing shameful in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing shameful. So I want to preach this morning on the subject, I'd be ashamed. And what I have to say is not for the faint of heart. If you are green or ecumenical or overpositive or believe in theistic evolution or like a little social in your gospel, this sermon's probably not for you. Well, it probably is, but it's not for the internet, so we shut this down this morning. Okay? So I want to just say, I'd be ashamed if I had to preach the Save the Earth gospel. By the Save the Earth gospel, I will include save the animals and save the trees and climate change crowd and all those sort of things. I can stand on it. We stood on a street corner yesterday and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed. It's hard to do sometimes. It's hard on the flesh all the time. If you think it gets, you know, if it's always this easy, it's not. But I am so glad. I am so glad because I would be ashamed to stand and preach the Save the Earth gospel. I can cry aloud and spare not with regard to Jesus Christ, but boy, when it comes to building more windmills, stand on a street corner and say, increase your number of solar panels. I'm sorry. I'd be ashamed. I just would. I can't go there. It's too much. Support ethanol subsidies. What a horrifying thing to stand in public and say. Poodles are people too. No, they're not. They all need their necks wrung. You know why I'm not on here since this morning. So what's the point? I would be ashamed of the Save the Earth gospel, of the Save the Animals gospel, of the Save the Whatever gospel. Recycle! It's your duty. What was it a few years ago that, was it Sheryl Crow that advocated that we should all go to one square of toilet paper a day? I am so grateful to not have to stand and preach that, much less live it. I use 3 rolls of toilet paper a day. PETA people. Can you imagine trying to get an unction from God? Can you imagine trying to stir the Spirit to stand and have the initiative to preach how to live without leather? Why be a vegan? Vegan. Whatever. Yeah, one of them. SUVs are wrong. No logging. No mining. Please. Use cloth diapers. They're better for the environment. I am so glad, because I tell you, I would be ashamed. There are people that laugh at me and you for what we do. Meanwhile, what they stand and publicly advocate puts a big red clown nose straight on their nose, and their hair goes think, and it's pink. They are clowns in disguise. I want to just say, I'm glad not to be called to preach a gospel that's a waste. Just think about preaching a save the world gospel when God's going to burn it up because he's mad, regardless of what you do. I am so glad to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I would be ashamed of preaching these other gospels. I'm glad that the God of the gospel I preach won't leave me ashamed. I can say this as well. I'd be ashamed of the evolution gospel. Now, I was pretty firmly instructed in evolution because I got saved when I was 10, went off to college, and had a little evolution in high school. And so by the time I went off to college, I was going to go into pre-med and stuff. And so I got the full-blown course. And so when I came out, but I am so glad not to have to preach a gospel that sees the design and ignores the designer. I mean, when you start considering, you know, the intricacy of life, and scientists know how intricate it is. If you're a chemist, a biological chemist, or if, you know, you are a technician with, you know, working with medical machinery and stuff like that. You know how intricate the system is, and yet if you're an evolutionist, you still have to preach there's a design without a designer. I'm so glad that I don't have to stand and be the fool to do that. I mean, do you believe the Hoover Dam just showed up one day? It doesn't work that way. And I got news for you. Your eyeball didn't just show up one day. I am so glad that I don't have to preach order out of randomness. I'm with Brother Gip. Anything that I ever blew up with a firecracker didn't come back together. And I don't understand people that think out of an explosion came order and life. It's crazy. I am so glad that I don't have to preach a gospel of an existence without any reason. Imagine standing on the street corner and shouting, "You are one big humongous accident. You are a statistical monstrosity. You're here because you're lucky. And no matter what happens to you, there's no reason for it whatsoever." I am so glad I don't have to preach that gospel. Whatever else is the case, I won't always have the answers. You may ask me one day why you got cancer or why somebody died too young or why the Lord took one of your children and that sort of thing. And I'm pretty sure that I won't be able to tell you exactly why. But I do know that God doesn't do things without reason. Amen. Whatever else is the case, I don't have to stand in a pulpit and preach to a bunch of hurting, crying people that there's no reason whatsoever for that which you're going through. There is no plan. You're just a bunch of biological goo that just showed up. So why don't you just go kill each other, survival of the fittest? That would be consistent. So I'm just glad that I don't have to preach that gospel. I would be ashamed of that gospel. Richard Dawkins, you know, he and the guy in the wheelchair that's dead now and in hell, Stephen Hawking, those guys ran their mouths and finally came to the point that they both said at some level, and I'm not quoting them exactly, that there's every possibility that aliens seeded life on Earth. That's too much to believe that God did. But aliens that evolved somewhere else, they came here and seeded life here. I'm supposed to accept that. I am so glad I'm not ashamed of the gospel that I'm able to preach. I am so glad that I have Jesus Christ's gospel to preach. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of the evolution gospel. I'd be ashamed of the save the earth, save the animals, and save the world, save the whatever, the purple gilded monkey gospel. I want to say that I'm glad that I don't have to preach the gospel of humanism, of social revolution, of cultural revolution. This is a lot of stuff in this, but it's humanism, socialism, a cultural nonsense. I can read what happened with Marxism in the past. It's produced some of the greatest genocidal murderers that ever lived. They put Hitler to shame. And yet I'm supposed to accept it because some ninnies in Washington think it's a good deal. I am so glad that I don't have to preach the gospel of Marxism. I am so glad that I don't have to preach psychology. I'm so glad that I don't have to tell you what a wonderful person you are, because I'd be lying. I'm so glad to tell you that there are other reasons for going through some things besides feeling good about yourself. Because I know how I am. You say, well, you're just different from me. No, I'm not. You're worse than me. You say, what's the point? I would be ashamed to preach the gospel of humanism. I would be ashamed to be called to the public political podium to preach the gospel of victimization. I know that there have been things that have happened in our country and in other places in the world and in probably every life sitting here that was unfair, and I'm sorry that some of those things happened, but life's not fair. Sometimes kids get orphaned. Sometimes war happens, and sometimes the tsunami comes and the tornadoes. And I'm sorry for those things, but hopefully you know that there are now a bunch of gospel preachers that are preaching the gospel of victimization where nothing's your fault. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I'm sorry for historical things that happened that are not right and not good and not godly. But at some point, like everybody else in the world, you have to get over some things and move on and grow through and be better for it. Amen. I just want to say that I'm glad that I don't have to preach the gospel of victimization, where I place people in deeper bonds, sink them further in the quicksand, put a yoke on their shoulders, and bondage them for the rest of their lives so they have an excuse for bad behavior and laziness. I'm glad that Jesus Christ came to set the captives free, not to put us back into bondage of Marxism, communism, ethnicity, and all those other things. I'm glad. They've been preaching this weirdo, and it's gotten just worse by the week, sexual gospel, this sexual perversion. And to me, what wraps it up, somebody reminded me of it the other day. You know, we always talk about things in the Bible being pretty simple comparatively. Like, there's an X chromosome and a Y chromosome. And out of that possibility comes boys and girls. You realize this world is now preaching the gospel of 52 genders. There are 52 genders. And they ain't just boys and girls. There's weird words in there. And the people that thought them up are weirder yet. I am so glad that I have the truth to preach. I am so glad that I have a gospel to preach that I am not ashamed of. I have a gospel that does not leave sinners in the mire, does not leave them with heavier manacles than when I came along. I am so glad to have something that'll set the captives free. I'd be ashamed. Amen. Of the gospel of humanism, of the gospel that's social in nature, of the gospel that's cultural in nature, of the gospel that thinks politics really matters all that much. I'd like to say that I'd be ashamed of the gospels of the heathen and the pagans. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I know that it may seem barbaric that men took the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world and essentially flayed him alive and disemboweled him and left him to hang out to dry and bleed to death and smother. It's pretty bloody. It's true enough. But I just want to say I'm glad that I don't have the gospel of the heathen. I'd be ashamed if I had Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, little tassel. Little peach-colored sheet. Peach is not in my color wheel. And I'd have trouble with tassels. The gospel of reincarnation. Hinduism. 325 million gods. And I have the opportunity to be reincarnated, but I might come back as a bug. And the rat that lives in your basement might be your grandmother. Now listen, there are folks there's a huge proportion of population on this earth that are dead serious about that gospel. I am so glad that I don't have to preach that one. I would be so ashamed. Zen Buddhism. Oh, I know. Boy, you look at Yoda and you think, oh, that's pretty. And you watch some bad, oriental karate movie, And there's a guy sitting with cross-legged, you know, with his, you know, rubbing his fingers together, his thumbs and four fingers in the yoga position. And he's floating 6 inches off the floor, and you go, oh, that's so cool. No, it's not. Can you tell me what advantage it is to be one with the doorknob? I mean, really, I spend years of my life trying to achieve oneness with the candle. What's it get me? Waxy, I guess. I don't know. But the very idea that that holds any answers to anything, I'm so glad I don't have to preach the gospel of animism. The gospel of thinking that I'm somehow advantaged to take an animal and eat its heart as it still beats, that it somehow endues me with something. To preach the gospel of my ancestor worship. I am so glad. And listen, here's the thing. If you are of, Anglo lineage, if you come from the Saxons or the Norse or the Germans or the Teutons or the Franks or the Africans or the Asians or the American Indians or the Eskimos, it's not that far back in your lineage. It may not be your grandmother, it may not be your great-grandmother, but somewhere not that far back in your lineage is a bunch of people dancing around a fire in a loincloth with blood streaming out their mouths from something they've eaten that was bloody. It's just not that far back. Aren't you glad we don't have to preach that gospel? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I would be ashamed of those. I would be ashamed. You say, boy, is this how this whole sermon's going to go? Yes. Yes. That's why I turned that off. It's not about the negativism. It's about the fact that I'm not ashamed. I'm glad to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I would be ashamed of the Islamic gospel. I would be ashamed of the Islamic gospel's God's prophet. Now, I'm not going to stand here and I've got to be careful. I don't want to bring railing accusation against gods, small g gods, and demons and the sinister principalities and powers in this world. And that's what that is. So I've got to be careful. But I would be ashamed of promoting and preaching Allah's prophet. Here is somebody who was a goat herder, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he built his entire life, he bilked off of women. He married an 8-year-old girl who brought her dolly to the marriage bed. I'm sorry. I would be ashamed of that prophet. I mean, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to torture me or something to get me to accept that prophet. I would be ashamed of that prophet. I would be ashamed of Islam's God. A moon god. Just a cheap, again, I got to be careful, a cheap demon. All the gods of the nations are idols. Demons, just devils. I would be ashamed. I have a God that's holy. I have a God that's omnipotent. I have a God that's omniscient. I have a God that's hallowed. And to be reduced to the heathen's little cheap gods, I'm so glad I have the real thing. I know my creator. I know my judge. I know the one that came and died for me, so I wouldn't have to face him as a judge. I'm so glad I don't have the Islamic gospel. I would be ashamed of the nonsense. The Al-Kaaba. The black stone, which everybody's supposed to kiss. Gabriel, who has 500 wings. Would you, there are some things in the Bible I have a hard time, attaching an imagination to. I think about, Ezekiel 1, and so you have this whirlwind coming, God's in the whirlwind, and there's these four wheels, and there's these four cherubs and all this stuff, and I've never gotten the picture in my mind because I'm just not an artist. But I think about an angel with 500 wings. Where do they all attach? I'm sorry. I just want to know. I would be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of the nonsense, the seizures that the prophet had, that Jesus was born under a palm tree and one of his great miracles was to heal the udder of a goat. I'd be ashamed. I would. I'd be ashamed. How do you stand on a street corner and say, Jesus healed the udder of a goat? Oh, good. Probably neutered a cat once too. I'd be ashamed of the hope. The hope of the Islamic gospel. You know, gluttonous, sordid, sensual heaven where 20-something virgins await all the righteous. And there for eternity you are. What a nasty thing. What a nasty thing. I'd be ashamed of the commission. Go out and kill people. And run back and hide behind the children. And hide behind the women. Go into bus stations and pull the plug and blow yourself up and blow everybody else to smithereens. What a commission. Are you seriously ashamed of preaching the gospel to every creature? When if you served that God, you'd be asked to go in and strap yourself in with some dynamite and go find the most crowded place you could find and blow yourself up. For what good? Oh, just to kill them because they're heathen. And to get you to your 21 virgins. Please. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of the murder. I'd be ashamed of the hatred. I guess I've served Jesus Christ too long. Because while there is hatred and wrath involved, I know very well that Jesus Christ died for every man. Because he loved him. And so he gave himself for him. I'm so glad to have a holy God. I'm happy to be able to preach a pure Bible. I have a Savior that's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. I don't have to go rub shoulders with a prophet or a God that's filthy, so I need a shower after I go rub shoulders. I'm glad. I really am glad. Only a shameless degenerate could stand and preach the Islamic gospel as it's written in the Quran. I've read the Quran. I know what it says. You say, it's just like the Bible. No, it's not. It's really bad Arabic poetry. Like, really bad. Like, I never want to read any more Arabic poetry ever. Like, it's just, you know. Say, what's the point? I am so glad that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I have nothing to be ashamed of. And this will be my last point. I know you're about ready for me to be done, some of you. I would be ashamed of the pseudo-Christian gospels. Mormonism. Really? The good news is that Satan was Jesus' brother. Really? The good news is that, you know, you need more than the Bible, you need the Book of Mormon. The good news is that if you keep the underwear on, you're good. Come on, people, seriously. To stand and preach, keep your underwear on and stay within reach of it when you're in the shower. I'm not kidding. They're serious. Go online and look for Mormon underwear. By the way, it's not very stylish either. There's not any little rocket men on it or anything. It's just stuff like Pa Ingles would wear. It's like, ew. I'm serious, though. They take it seriously.
I would be ashamed. Imagine preaching you need to go to the temple and be baptized for people that are dead. What craziness is this? Imagine standing. Imagine going out as young men. I guess they have to be young men because only somebody young could be that stupid. To go out on bicycles and tool around knocking on doors, pretending to be elders, and giving them a gospel like that. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to be a Jehovah's Witness. That, you know, I have to play the deceitful game, just like a Mormon, of, oh yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wow, you don't mean anything like what the Bible says the Son of God is. Oh, there's no hell. Oh, but you really, really need to get right to go into the kingdom. Well, if there's no hell, what difference does it make? I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to preach the Catholic gospel. I would be ashamed. I would be ashamed to own the Pope as having any relation to me. You read simple history. It's all there to read of the absolute insidious, malignant filth that has proceeded from that office through those convents, through those monasteries, the bastardization, the sodomy, the incestuousness. I mean, there is so much history. There's enough history to make a pig puke. I'm not kidding. I would be ashamed. There is nothing honorable about the Catholic gospel. I would be ashamed of the papacy. I would be ashamed of the godless lies. Imagine preaching a Jesus Christ that still hides behind his mommy. Serious. She's the real mediator. She's the real mediatrix. If you get past her, she'll convince her son, and then her son will convince her father, but she's the key. Let me just read you something here real quick. The St. Stanislaus Kostya Catholic Church in Chicago features an image of Mary on the very Ark of God. She's sitting above the Ark in the mercy seat. In the place that was occupied by God's presence in the tabernacle, she's surrounded by adoring cherubim. This blasphemous image occupies the central altar where Mass is performed. The church's official literature says that the image depicts the Catholic doctrines that Mary was immaculately conceived. By the way, she didn't just immaculately conceive Christ. It's talking about her immaculate conception. She was basically virgin born. Her immaculate conception and her sinlessness through life, as well as her perpetual virginity. Well, I read in my Bible that Mary had kids. So she wasn't a perpetual virgin. And so what did they do? At one juncture, all those smart guys, Thomas Aquinas and those schoolmen, they were discussing, since they knew for a fact that Mary was a perpetual virgin, I mean, they knew it, that there must therefore be an alternate birth canal. And they actually discussed it. I'd be ashamed. I mean, you talk about having to make, you talk about a kid, you know, sitting there with chocolate on his face and swearing to the Holy One that he didn't get in the cookie jar. And he makes up some story about some bird dropping, you know, chocolate on his face or something like that. It's just terrible. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to own it. But, you know, that's Rome's Mary. And she sits in the place of God. She's the real judge. She's the real key. And one day, it may be that Mary, just like the Ninevites, will get to stand up and let some folks have it at judgment. Because she's been misrepresented in an awful way. I need to add to that a little bit. Here's another one. Dr. Virginia Mollenkott, professor of English at New Jersey's William Patterson College. She's also the one that worked on the NIV, by the way. She's promoted in some evangelical churches, though an admitted lesbian. She's now proposing the shocking and bewildering claim that Jesus Christ was really a woman. At a news conference for the National Council of Churches, good crowd that, she cited a journal, the Journal of American Scientific Affiliation article, which argued that Jesus was born in parthenogenesis. Parthenogenesis is a form of asexual reproduction found in females, where growth and development of embryos occurs without fertilization by male. So that's what Mary had. That he was born in a state of parthenogenesis, that parthenogenetic births are always female, that in some cases, therefore, he would be willing to refer to Jesus as she, up until the last minute of sex reversal, in which case Jesus remains chromosomally female through life, that functions as a normal male and looks like a normal male. So that's what a lady named Virginia Mollenkott that helped out with your NIV believes. I'd be ashamed. I mean, what a ridiculous, nonsensical thing. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? I'm so glad I don't have to be ashamed. I'm so glad that, you know, I've not landed in a camp of environmentalists or a camp of transgenders or a feminism or Marxism or socialism or some such thing where if I'm going to do right by my God, whoever that is, that I have to stand on a corner and preach this stuff, I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to preach the gospel of Catholicism, that come down here and take this bread, which I've just now turned into the real body of Christ. And as long as you have the body of Christ in your digestive system, you're good. But now when you, after the normal course of life, this goes away, you need to come back for more. My wife, she grew up knowing that if she had on the scapular, that if she died, she'd go to heaven. Like that. It's a lucky rabbit's foot. It's like a four-leaf clover. Only it's been sanctified by the Catholic Church, the gospel of Catholicism. That if you die with the scapular on in an accident, you'll go straight to heaven. Nobody has to pray you out of purgatory. I'd be ashamed of a church that adopted a gospel by Augustine, where in order to make money and to force folks into religious subjection, that I invent a place called limbo, where little babies die and go and stay until mama and daddy can pray them out. Or that I would invent a place like purgatory so I could make money for the church, where you know, somebody goes, and of course nobody's perfect, and so you go and pay for your own sins in purgatory for, oh, say 10,000 or 12,000 years, unless the family gives enough money and prays enough prayers and light enough candles to get you out early. Boy, what a joy to stand and preach that on the corner. When you die, if you're a good Catholic, you might only have to stay in purgatory 500 years. If you have rich relatives and they keep coming with more matches and lighting candles and praying the rosary, I'd be ashamed. I mean, really ashamed. Couldn't do it. Could you? Can you preach the real gospel? Are you ashamed of that? Idols, rosaries, St. Christopher's, praying for the dead, praying to the dead. I'd be ashamed. Folks, all I'm just getting at, and I'm done. Ain't it good to have the real thing? And what possible connection can shame have with something as powerful as that? With something as powerful as your God, as related in the Gospels, what possible connection, what could you possibly be ashamed of? And yet folks are. Well, I'd be ashamed. I'm sure I'm glad I have what I have. I'm sure I'm glad for the heritage that I have. I'm glad we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm glad to be sealed and sanctified and headed to heaven, aren't you? Waiting for a trumpet sound. Let's bow our heads and pray.